And again, it's a very devastating effect. And hearing those speakers on the podium open their lives up to the rest of the nation, to the rest of the world, really puts the humility back in the fact that we are talking about a critical healthcare issue. And so I really want to thank you both. This has been a really wonderful experience. And no matter how many times you find yourself in this position, and I really, really suggest that you do it again if you get a chance. Are right, you?
Next, 4 years from now, exactly. Yes.
You will find each convention is so different. And so I really like the fact that they have a theme and that they are moving forward and that they are thinking about not just the American public, but people who live in the United States, and they're thinking about how to improve their lives. And so for me, I've been a long, hardcore Democrat for all of my life. But I think now is when I'm the most proud of it, when I see these phenomenal people who just keep putting their shoulder towards making us have a greater America. Once again, this is Tina Turner Morfitt. I want to thank you both for participating in Labor Radio.
Solidarity.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Tune into KBOO every third Saturday at 10 p.m. for Query. Dive into the spectrum of queer music as we explore artists across time and genre.
It's on my mind every hour of every day.
That's Query every third Saturday at 10 p.m. Here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. And I lose control, think I follow
home. Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And here goes. Good evening. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. Today we are talking with Kirk Charlton. We've had Kirk on the show before. He's an artist. And Robin Davidson. And we're talking today about the organization Better Neighbors. Kirk, Robin, welcome to Prison Pipeline. Welcome to KBOO.
Well, thank you
for
having
us. Nice to have you guys
us.
In the studio.
It's great.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah. So Robin, Kirk, you're both here today talking about the organization Better Neighbors, and let's start with just meeting both of you too first. Let's start with you, Kirk. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I'm an artist. I've been an artist since I was 5 years old, I'm pretty sure. So, and I am really excited about the fact that I was able to make this change in my life. I got in a lot of trouble in my younger years, and I think art really saved my life in so many ways. I can't even imagine, but yeah, and I have a great art exhibit and some kids' books and an art program called Art Inside Out.
Yep. Yeah, great. And we've had you on before talking about that, so we'll get into that a little bit more in a minute. Robin, tell me a little bit about yourself, please.
Yes, thank you for having me on. So I met Kirk about 3 years ago, and I had heard of Kirk, but I'd never met him. And I met him and learned about the Art Inside Out program. And so we started working with the program to get it back inside to prisons where he had started it. And so in this process, we have started a nonprofit called Better Neighbors. and we are taking Kirk's program and other programs and putting them into prisons and drug and alcohol treatment centers.
Great. So you're bringing art to folks who are incarcerated. That's great. And you have an event coming up, right? I think you told me about that. Why don't you tell me about that?
Yes, on Friday, November 14th, we're having a Connecting Community Through Art event. This will be our second annual event. And it's going to feature Kirk and his My Personal Experience artwork, which is about 40 drawings of things that he witnessed while inside prisons. And we'll also have 5 or 6 other formerly incarcerated artists displaying their work. And part of the Connecting Community Through Art show will also be partnering with a number of other nonprofits that we work with throughout the year to let them highlight what they do also and show the collaboration, and that we get way more done when we all work together.
Oh, great. Are you an artist, Robin?
I guess not in the traditional sense. I think video editing and creative writing is kind of my
art form. That's art. Believe me, as a sound editor, I understand there's an art to it. I'm not very good at it. I don't know what they let me produce on KBOO, but there's a real art to sound editing. Yeah. Kirk, you're an artist.
Yes, and the definition of an artist isn't necessarily somebody that can draw or music and all that. It's somebody that's really skilled at something. So you're both artists. My grandmother told me that I was an artist when I was very young, and because I showed her a picture of a horse being stung by a bee, and I gave it to her, and she stopped what she was doing and just, she said, Kirk, this is amazing. You're an artist. So, yeah, I'm an artist. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the art helped you while you were doing time, huh?
It did in a lot of ways. I've been asked how it did help me, and I can honestly say that a couple of times when I was in USP Atwater down in California, that art really saved me from getting into a lot of crazy stuff, because I didn't want to lose my art supplies.
Yeah.
Of all things, there were some times where I had an opportunity or there were some moments where I could have gotten a lot of trouble being involved in some scheme that people had going, and I just said, no, I don't want to go to the hole again because I don't want to lose all my art supplies.
Right. Robin, yeah. What about you? Does having access to art and art supplies, does that make a difference for AICs?
Oh, yes. Most definitely. With Kirk's program, it oscillates between the artwork and positive dialogue. But the great thing about the program is it can really get guys that are still kind of in the pre-contemplative place, not sure if they want to change or not, but they get hooked by the art. And the ability to come in and get good art supplies and draw and express themselves, then they start learning all this positive dialogue and seeing there is another way. And so it's the piece of incentive, right, of giving them something that they wouldn't otherwise have, and then it introduces them to the all the other good stuff.
Yeah. Now, when I think about art in prison, I mean, so like I know from the women's prison where I volunteer, it's like I think about music, there's a lot of, people really want to get into the choir when they can. So I think about music, I think about singing, mm-hmm. I think about instruments. Mm-hmm. When I think about visual art, I think about tattoos. I know there's usually, most prisons have a prohibition against prison tattoos, but people still get them done.
Right.
And I don't think so much about drawing, but I guess there must be a lot of people inside who draw. Because you got a lot of time to draw.
Yeah, you got a lot of time. And, if you have an occupation as an airplane mechanic out in the street or in the free world, when you get to the prison, you can't practice any of that stuff. So if you're into art, and people get into art because you can produce art while you're there, it's And also you can make a couple dollars. You know, you can get coffee in your commissary. And I was always considering that. I was always doing that to, you know, get some food in my drawer and all that. But yeah, art, a lot of times in the program, guys like Robin said, that they kind of get, if there's a list of different programs that you would want to take, they would see art in the list, and they would, you know, they would go for that as opposed to a class that you're just sitting there and listening to a bunch of kind of unrelatable dialogue, you know, and stuff. But we've had guys come in the program just to do art, and they didn't want to hear any positive dialogue. But after a while, those guys, those particular guys, were the ones that were kind of responding to our positive words. And yeah. So,
yeah, something about making art is maybe connected to, it could be connected to kind of, I don't know, thinking, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, when you're creating something, you want it to turn out good. And you just really search for information. You Google, in my case, it was the encyclopedia, or you learn from other people to get instruction on how to make whatever you're making the best. You know, you want it to turn out better than the next guy. So while we're doing that, Emma, that's the best time to insert positive dialogue, because you're seeking information and it comes back to you at the same time. And like Robin said, we oscillate back and forth, keep the creative juices flowing, and then we push the positive dialogue. And, you know, we do art. We go over my writings on the connections between art and life. And we talk about kindness and trust and patience and forgiveness and all that as the third part, yeah.
And didn't you mention something about some prison drawings and a kid's book, Kirk? Did you mention something about that?
Yeah, I have a exhibit called My Personal Experience, and these are actual events that happened while I was incarcerated that I either witnessed or was a part of, and they're kind of crude drawings. Some are funny, some are not funny at all, and all in pencil. Most of them are in pencil, and they're kind of wrinkled up from traveling, you know, with a plastic bag. And but my kids' books are great. I want to be series. I want to be a jazz musician. I want to be an artist, archaeologist, soccer player, and something else.
Marine biologist.
Yeah.
Oh, great! So, and those are kids' books.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, we'll talk about that again in a minute, then. Yeah. So, Better Neighbors. What exactly is that, Robin? I mean, we kind of briefly described it, but is this an Oregon-based nonprofit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Better Neighbors is an Oregon-based nonprofit.
Uh-huh.
And we curate and provide programming to marginalized populations, primarily those impacted by the justice system and addiction disorders.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a lot.
So
you got your hands full with a job description like that.
It is, but we've seen the need for really good programming. We know that a lot of the programs offered inside of prisons, the people don't always respond very well to them. They're taught by people who they can't relate to. The material is written by people that they don't necessarily relate to. And so that's what's great about Art Inside Out and Kirk's program. It was written by somebody on the inside that understands them. And so they really relate to material, and it helps them begin to change and make a true transformation. And so it uses the art to hook them, and then the positive dialogue to get them thinking in a different way.
Right.
You know, there are so many creative people inside, and art is a pretty big piece of people doing time. Often, a lot of the people inside of prison never had the opportunity to express themselves because they were always living in fear and fighting for, they didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They didn't necessarily know where they were always going to be living. You know, they came from places of abuse. So when you're living in this fear and your basic needs aren't being met, you can't express yourself. Like the creative side just doesn't get a chance to come out and manifest. And so once they get to prison, all of a sudden they're living in relative safety. They have a place to live. They have food and they have time. And so all of a sudden they realize they have this skill and this talent, and it starts coming out in different ways. And so we're using Kirk's program to take that talent, or people that may not even feel they have artistic talent, and show them that they can be successful and show them that they can do things and try new things.
Oh, great. And so do you have the program going in any prisons right now here in Oregon?
Yes. The program is currently running at Oregon State Correctional Institution and Eastern Oregon Correctional Institution. And we are getting ready to start it at Santiam Correctional Institution. Yeah. And we're in the works, in talks of starting down at Warner Creek.
Oh, wow. So you're just driving all over the state, huh?
Yeah. We're trying to get all over. And then we've also been talking with Coffee Creek and working at kind of getting it there. But we know getting anything started in the prisons is a kind of a slow and tedious process as you work through all the different layers of bureaucracy.
Right. Yeah. It's slow, but if you can make it in, it's great. It really makes a big difference. I mean, I know that any kind of programming that gets in really means a lot to the AICs who have access to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And yeah. And one of the ways, so
I've never been out to OSCI, so I don't know what it's like.
Yeah,
Salem.
Yeah, it's in Salem there. And also OSP, we're working at getting there, but they have more programs at OSP than any other prison.
Uh-huh.
So the challenge there is finding space and time to start a new program.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's unique with Kirk's program is we're actually training the AICs like over a video call with a counselor. So we're having, it's a peer-led program. So we're training the AICs inside to actually teach the program.
Oh, great. So are you actually, so like, you know, do you go out to Eastern Oregon? Are you physically? Or?
I haven't, no.
Okay, you're just doing it over video, yeah.
No, but, you know, we're, and another thing is they're realizing that we really want to recreate people's value. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you feel like you're important, not in an arrogant way at all, but if you have self-worth and value, you tend to want to take care of yourself, you know, more. And you don't do dumb things to take you away from the people that you're valuable to. And, you know, so the three components in the program, the art and then my writings on the connections between art and life, we want to encourage people to be themselves and be genuine. I think that the positive dialogue that we have in the program really gets us back to thinking about, you know, before you were sort of domesticated, Emma, you know, where you learned, you know, you had to have a favorite color or favorite, you know, you had to drive a Chevy instead of a Ford or like those people or not like those people from your uncle or whatever. I think we were really genuine back then, you know, before, you know, predating that time. And so we talk about forgiveness in the program, and we're all these convicts sitting around, and instead of, you know, Millie Mackin around, we're talking about forgiveness and what that means to them and how that can help in their recovery and all kinds of stuff. So, because when we were kids, somebody steals our toy, while we're in the sandbox, we're upset, we're mad. But the next day we're playing with the same kid with the same toy, and we seemed like we knew how to forgive back then.
Yeah,
you know, more so, you know, than now.
No, that's great. Yeah. But what kind of art do people have access to inside Kirk? Like, Can people work with spray paints or oils or acrylics, charcoal? I mean, what can people do inside? And do they have a chance to show any of their stuff?
Well, they could show it around to, you know, the other guys in the unit or whatever. But, you know, there's no bartering on, you know, you got to keep that on the down low for sure. But it depends on the security of the security level of the joint. When I was in USB Atwater, we didn't we had acrylic paint, but no oils or anything like that. And then our paintbrushes were only 4 inches long, and they have different rules for that. But if you go to a minimum camp or a medium camp, you can get good pencils, and if you get in the art program, you can get paint. And you know,
what about can you use spray paint, or I mean,
you mean like spray can stuff?
Yeah, like for doing like
probably not. No. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does depend on where you're at. Generally, colored pencils and graphite are the main medium that people have access to. Most of the canteens sell those. Every now and then, they'll do something special with like some charcoal or some kind of, like at Christmas time, they'll sell some different art supplies.
Yeah.
Guys get super creative. There's been some amazing work done with instant coffee. And then there are, depending on the prison, there are different programs where people do get access to other art supplies. At one time at Saniam, we had a program called Business in a Box, and we had guys there that were airbrushing and could airbrush stuff. We had staff bringing in their tanks from their Harley Davidson for guys to airbrush on. But that's a minimum camp. It was a special program, which COVID killed, like it did most of the programs.
Yeah.
But so generally speaking, though, it's very limited amount of art supplies that somebody has access to inside.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen like over Coffee Creek, the chapel was all painted by the ladies over there. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh my God, it's so beautiful. The chapel is like this forest scene. And it's incredible. I mean, it's such a peaceful space. And I don't know if they did the design too, or just the painting. I don't know how much they were involved in it. But I mean, when I go to prisons, there's a lot of wall space, you know, and sometimes the wall space is used like for murals. I mean, I've seen a few really nice murals. Like, I mean, again, Coffee Creek has got a lot of, not a lot, but it has a few, and they're really beautiful. You know, they're really, really beautiful pieces. So I also remember when I used to visit down at San Quentin. San Quentin actually had an art show for AIC. It's like, they had a gallery space where AICs could show their work for visitors. Like, visitors could come and see the San Quentin Gallery. They didn't have to go inside the institution and see it.
And then buy them or purchase the
I don't know if it was for sale. I don't remember that part.
Yeah. OSB used to have something like that.
Yeah. It seems like a really good outlet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe it went to a restitution or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many, like Robin was saying, there's so many creative people in there, and when you're isolated, you know, and by yourself, there's a lot of you're thinking about your life a lot, for sure. But art really does so much. I've always taught art in all the joints I've been in. I've always done some pretty big murals in California and Saniam and Eastern Oregon and Sheridan, actually. Sheridan. I painted all the walls in there. So teaching art's great.
I mean, there is tattoos too. I mean, tattoos are actually an amazing art form, you know, and people
absolutely
can do them inside, even though they're not supposed to. But let's let's make sure we get some details in because the time, it just goes so fast. You wouldn't believe how fast it goes.
Yeah.
If people want to, we're not quite done yet, but just if people want to connect with Better Neighbors, how can they find out about that?
So you can go to creatingbetterneighbors.org and learn more.
Creatingbetterneighbors.org.
Okay. Yes. And learn about our organization, our program. We have three ways that people can really get involved. One is just learn about Better Neighbors and the Art Inside Out program and share it with other people. The second way is to become a facilitator. And so Kirk is training facilitators to teach the program. And we're working with other community partners to run the program in the community as well as in institutions. And then the third way is to become a member. And we have monthly memberships starting at $5 a month and that support us financially so we can get these programs to the people who really need it the most.
And Art Inside Out, is that just part of Better Neighbors now, or is that still kind of going on its own?
It's part of Better Neighbors, and, you know, we can, yeah, it's part of Better Neighbors.
Oh, great, sure. Yeah. And then you said you had an event coming up. So you want to tell me about that again?
Yeah, so Friday, November 14th, we're having our Connecting Community Through Art event at the Left Bank Annex. And there will be more information on the website about that in the coming months. This is our second art show. It's going to feature Kirk and his My Personal Experience artwork, as well as a number of other formerly incarcerated artists. And it's just a way to showcase a lot of the talent that there is inside the prisons and coming out of the prisons. And it also allows us to collaborate with a number of other nonprofits that we work with throughout the year that are doing a lot of good work in the treatment community, in the reentry community, and really helping change lives. And we believe collaboration is the way we can help the most people, because individually we can only do so much. And working together with these other groups, we can help a lot more people and make a lot more lasting change.
Great. Well, that's all really wonderful. Yeah, so we've got a couple minutes left. Gentlemen, is there anything that we haven't said yet that you really want to make sure you get in? Because I don't know. Go ahead.
I'd like to say that, you know, the program, that, you know, in the art department, when we're doing a session, we do art and we go over my writings and then we have this positive dialogue. But we're really concerned with really just recreating our value, because, and I just want to say that everybody's important and valuable, and when you get incarcerated, you tend to think you're not important and you're a piece of crap and all this stuff. And so we can change that around a little bit and get guys to think that they are important, and we can be easily implemented in any institution. There's a bunch of, you know, institutions all over the United States, and we have a great criteria on how to get in there, and it'll be the best program that they could ever imagine, because we can make that connection. So,
oh, great! So there's an invitation if you're listening and you're involved, and you know some programming that could be brought to a jail or a prison or a correction center near you. This is. And again, if people wanted to find out how to connect with that, how do they do that?
It's evidence-based program, by the way. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes. So they can find out more at creatingbetterneighbors.org. And we are starting to work with other nonprofits also in training their facilitators to be certified Art Inside Out facilitators, so they can then take the program wherever they're working. So if they're working in reentry, they can use it there. If they're going into prisons, they can take it in. And that way we can expand our reach exponentially, because we're training others. And if they are already into a certain prison, then we don't have to relay, you know, that groundwork and reinvent the wheel. They're already there. They can be trained and take the program inside. So if there's any other organizations that would like to work with this and have their people trained as certified facilitators, yeah, get in touch with us. You can find my email on the website, robin@creatingneighbors.org. And all our information is at creatingbetterneighbors.org.
Great. All right. Well, thanks so much. We've been talking today with Kirk Charlton and Robin Davidson of creatingbetterneighbors.org. So thanks so much for coming to Prison Pipeline and sharing your stories, gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you for having
thank
us.
You. Thank you.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.